My name is Nicole Braun, and you're listening to The Woo Woo Report, a weekly podcast where we celebrate the woo woo lifestyle and dig deeper to get our mystical questions answered.
All right, so today we are here with Laura Roth, and you are an intuitive tarot reader and creative producer with your company, The Tarotpist, which is so creative marketing, branding, I love. So that's, I love that brandy moment there with that.
Thank you. I'm actually your tarotpist at Your Tarotpist.
Yeah. Great. So we have you on the podcast. I was interested in interviewing you for the podcast because tarot is so different than oracle reading. And I don't do tarot readings. Well, I do them for myself, but I don't do them professionally. And I just feel like a lot of people had a lot of questions. And so I really wanted to get some insight from you on how you got started on your journey and, you know, answering some of our audience questions. But before we get into that, I want to know, what is your sun sign? And if you also want to share your moon and your rising.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for having me. Super stoked to be on the Woo Woo Report. I am a Leo sun and a Scorpio rising and a Libra moon. So I've got fire, water, and air sort of in my first three, and don't have too much earth in my chart. So always trying to look to get more grounded.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that. It was funny because I was like, it's really... I surround myself, my two best friends are both earth signs, and I don't find that to be a coincidence.
No, totally. We need our support, our elemental support.
For sure. What is your favorite crystal and why?
I don't actually know if it's a crystal, but I think it is. My favorite is the moonstone. I love the way they look, and I keep a small moonstone in the pouch with my tarot deck because it just sort of is about heightening intuition, and it's very cleansing, and it's very protective. My mom's name in Sanskrit means full moon, so I've always been really kind of connected to the lunar phases and to the moon itself. So yeah, I always feel a little more calm when I have my moonstone nearby. And I do think with the amount of readings that I do, it really offers, you know, some cleansing to my deck.
Moonstone's so pretty. I never can find it. I always see the prettiest moonstone jewelry, but it's always set in silver, and silver just does not look good on my skin.
I got a place for you. I have a place for you that has some beautiful just moonstone on its own without any, you know, jewelry around it. Yeah, I'll definitely recommend that to you.
Okay, great. What's a daily ritual that you do?
You know, that's ever changing. I'm all about daily ritual. For a while, I was just journaling every morning, and it was kind of inspired from the book, The Artist's Way. Just, you know, stream of consciousness journaling and trying to just have gratitude. I try to stick to that every single day, but I'm pregnant right now. So it's just like every day is a new adventure. But I think I just, no matter how crazy I'm getting, I try to just have a moment of like 3 minutes of just kind of shutting off and doing, you know, a really mindful meditation, and then just sort of reminding myself of the things that I'm grateful for. Because, you know, sometimes it can be hard to be a person, and you get really overwhelmed with all of the things you have to do, all of the things you want, and, you know, sort of feel lost. But I think just checking in and just being like, you know, I'm grateful for a roof over my head, for the love in my life, for oxygen that I can breathe, you know, I just try to have little check-ins about those small but very important things.
I love that. Yeah. I think gratitude's one of those things that we really have to, check in with ourselves every day, even if it is like, you know, so it's not small, like oxygen we breathe in every day seems, it's just something we're used to every day, but it, you know, makes us functional people that are alive. But it's
totally
forget about that. I do one with groceries. Like I'm just so thankful that I can afford to buy groceries every week. Like a lot of people can't.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And like the ease in which we get our food, you know, of just, you go to the market and what you need is right there. And I always think about like the many hands and the many people that had this big part in getting us nourishment, you know, and, you know, life can seem very easy sometimes. And I think we take it for granted. So yeah, I just try to check in with the gratitude, especially being pregnant. You know, it's like, I'm really trying to just be mindful because this little baby that I'm growing is absorbing everything that I'm experiencing. So it's causing me to check in even more.
I know. It's so exciting. I'm going to have to check back into you after you have the little babes, because I just remember so much energetically just shifted for me after I had, like, after my son was earthside. It was very interesting. Yeah. Energetic shift.
I really want to talk to you about that. Being a mama yourself, I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah. If you could describe your work in 3 words, what would they be?
So if I could describe my work in 3 words, I would say, first off, it's meant to be supportive. So I'm, you know, here to support through just working with the tarot deck. So first word is supportive. Second word would be connected, because I really feel that I'm able to just, you know, channel really deeply with people when they're coming to me for clarity or questions or just, you know, insight. And I think the third would be calm. You know, I think some people can be very afraid of mysticism and tarot and divination and all that stuff. So I really like to present it in a calm and practical way. You know, like these are just tools and they're helpful for everybody. And I'm just kind of here to help translate what these tools are. So I like to make it something that feels accessible and safe for everybody.
Yeah, I think that is something with tarot, at least for tarot with me too. Like it's not, I guess, not scary, but it's just, I think tarot kind of has like, it's more apparent, I feel like, with tarot, like the shadow side and the light side with it, that I think with a lot of oracle decks. So even sometimes when I've had tarot readings, I've been like, oh, what is that? You know, that all these swords are so intense looking and like aggressive.
Totally. The swords are very intense. You know, there's other really gnarly looking cards in the deck. You know, people who aren't familiar, if they see something that says death or the devil, it can induce a lot of fear. So, you know, I'm just kind of here to act as like a conduit, you know, really kind of explain like, no, this doesn't have to be taken quite literally, but they symbolize archetypes and they symbolize, you know, aspects of the life and the human experience. So that's why I really just tried to come at it from a place of support, you know. And I know there is, you know, there are a lot of different kinds of readers out there and quote unquote fortune tellers that do sort of use fear tactics in their reading. So I just like to make it really clear, like, I am not about that. Like, this is here to serve you. This is here to help give you clarity and to, you know, kind of just promote the highest good.
Yeah, for sure. So
therapy.
Yes, therapy.
Therapy.
So Tara, tell us a little backstory on how you got into tarot and why you chose it as, you know, the modality to share spiritual messages with others.
Totally. I actually truly believe tarot chose me. It's a really crazy story. You know, all through my life and my early 20s, I would say I was pretty atheist leaning, you know, slightly agnostic, but I was very kind of science minded and just really didn't believe in too much spiritually. And then, you know, Saturn return happened and basically everything that could go into upheaval did. And I was just sort of left like wandering, like, what are we doing? What am I doing? I was in just this really crazy place of seeking and, you know, looking for some deeper meaning in life. And I was walking through a bookstore, just kind of looking for like self-help books. And the tarot deck literally fell in front of my feet. Somebody was stocking the bookshelves on the opposite aisle, and I was on the other side of the aisle, and a deck literally just fell in front of me because this person was just putting too many books on one side, so it caused a bunch to tumble over. And it was the first thing I saw. It was the Universal Weight deck, and I was experiencing loss at that point in time, and I was, you know, kind of grieving, and I really just felt like it was this message from the universe, like, hey, here, right in front of you, you know, why don't you pick this up and see what this is about? And, you know, I was always kind of into witchy stuff just as a, you know, as a little interest as a kid. I like loved those kinds of movies and stuff, but never really on a serious level. But when I started looking into the cards and, you know, reading about them, it was just like this language that I understood immediately. So it chose me. I didn't choose the tarot life. The tarot life chose me.
I love that. I love when it kind of just, I mean, it's not easy because it's like we've been led up to these things, I think, for those exact moments for it, but it's just such a clear sign that
absolutely
you can't ignore it. You're just like, oh, okay, like this is, yep, this is what we're doing now.
Totally. I'd love to hear too, you know, another conversation about you and how you got into this world also, but I feel like it does sort of just happen, you know, when it's meant to happen. And if you're just able to kind of surrender to it and humble yourself and take yourself out of any reality that you've ever known, I think it can be super just enriching, you know, whether you'd want to make it into a business or not. I think just kind of humbling yourself to, you know, this crazy spiritual experience that we all share in a human shell, you know, I think it's just, it's kind of mind blowing.
Yeah. And I think what you said about removing ourselves from reality is so, it's so important. I think that's the most, I guess not difficult, but, most challenging part of it all, because, and all the conditioning, right, that we have from the outside world and opinions and societies and just like what we're told is real or not real is very confusing, and it's a lot of contradicting messages. So like really to follow our own intuition and that sort of path with it and trust our guides and the universe and the other ways that they, you know, share these things with us is, we want to resist, right? Like we want to be like, no, it's been this other way for so long. Like, why would it just switch?
Totally. And I think, you know, that knowledge that we think we grasp keeps us safe in some ways, you know, it's like this weird old barometer of truth that, you know, well, if this is not what it seems, and is everything that I've ever known like completely false? And it is, it's very overwhelming, you know, and I'm constantly feeling like reality is constantly changing, you know, just even as a human collective, like everything is constantly shifting. So I went from being sort of this really rigid thinker to now just accepting like infinite possibilities, you know, everything is possible. But yeah, I think the bottom line is for me, tarot is really rooted in like love and connection, you know, and I think it's a really, for me, it's an act of showing love and support to others. And that's sort of what I was searching for at the time. And as I kind of look back and as it's kind of grown into more of a career, I'm really able to find that kind of fulfillment through working with the cards. You know, I just find it to be a very loving and supportive act.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is a typical, I guess, like reading with you like do you like to do? I don't know all the different, you know, tarot spreads off the top of my head. I don't do them enough to be like, this is a standard spread, but is there like a standard 3-card spread that you do or 5-card or anything like that when someone books a reading with you?
You know, it's super dependent. So when I do one-on-one readings, I usually like to do them in increments of 20, 40 or 60 minutes. And with that, we usually go into so many different topics that I kind of just do, I start with like the Celtic cross, like 6 cards, just to kind of see what's presently happening. And then I'll just pull in sort of different spreads, you know, based on certain aspects of life or questioning or relationships. I'll just kind of like do a little waterfall of cards there and sort of read. They all end up kind of looking like a crazy mandala sometimes, or they look, you know, like, just they all have these weird geometric shapes they all turn into, but they're very, very free flowing, you know, because I do really like to kind of do exchange readings where I'm either on the phone with somebody or doing, you know, a FaceTime. But when I do remote readings and I'm just kind of offering a remote reading that I can record and someone can listen to on their own time, I'll usually do a deep Celtic cross and I'll just sort of keep pulling. But then I also do a bunch of events. So I'll do like a bunch of private parties or big events where I'm seeing like a lot of people in a night. You know, I can sometimes see upward of 100 people, which is really energetically taxing, but also really fun. And with those, I keep it to a 3 to 5 card spread and just kind of keep it really central on a specific question or just do like a really broad past, present, future. But it's all really fluid. I like to keep it fluid. And, you know, energy is so different with every person, with every reading, with every environment. So I really just kind of like tune into what is feeling right. So yeah, I'm not really staunch on keeping to any specific type of reading, but I do like to kind of study them, use them as like guidelines.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. The event readings can get, I can only do 3 cards. I've tried to do 5 cards at an event before and it's like too much. And I feel like people, a lot of times with events, I don't know if these are events. I just notice a lot of times when I do events, people have never had an oracle reading before. So I feel like it becomes a lot of information for them to process. I guess like the universal.
Absolutely. It's a lot, you know, just like so many different personalities. And sometimes people are like drinking and they think you're just like a party trick and they're like, do the thing.
I was just going to say that. It's like, I'll notice when it's so funny. You know, I have yet to be at an event where the readings like go over the time that I'm supposed to be there. Like, it's literally like, okay, this is it. We're wrapped. We're done now sort of thing. When I've been at parties and people are drinking, it's like, I'm like, no, like I can't, like I have to be done at this time because people start getting really sloppy and their energy gets really weird. It gets
totally
like a very weird atmosphere sometimes. But yeah, that's interesting. I was wondering if you did these big spreads of parties. I'm like, that would just be so energetically draining, I feel like. But it's,
yeah, it's crazy. I mean, good for you for keeping a boundary too and like being done at a certain time, because I am the one that goes over. And back before when I wasn't pregnant, I would totally like have a couple glasses of champagne too and get like really open and sometimes go really deep into a 3-card reading where one person gets like a 20-minute 3-card reading and another person just gets like a 5-minute one and then have to explain myself. So I think it's really good in the event sphere to just like keep your heart out and leave when you got to leave, you know?
For sure, for sure. So I pulled some questions from my audience about what they want to know about, like what questions they had for a tarot reader, because again, this is not my field. And just anyone that's listening, I think a lot of people don't realize Oracle and tarot are completely different. Like they're both cards, but they're completely different things. So these just don't apply to my, I guess, expertise. So I sought out your expertise on these things. So the first question we have is, what is your take on why there is a stigma with purchasing your own deck versus being gifted one?
You know, I think that these are really old tools, you know, tarot cards, and just like everything, I think a lot of stigma is rooted in tradition, you know, so maybe, you know, the mystics from, you know, generations ago, that was sort of their take. Like you have to be gifted a card and has to come from this other, you know, teacher, or this other source of knowledge. But, you know, I could be breaking some rules and pissing some people off. I'm sure I am, but I just feel like these days it's like, you know, it's 2020 and knowledge is all around us, and gift yourself. You know, I think it's really important that we gift ourselves the things that we need. But yeah, I think that the history behind the stigma is probably just, you know, tradition, you know, dead people putting peer pressure on people that are alive and keeping things the way they've been forever and ever.
Yeah, for sure. What tips do you have for memorizing the meaning of all the cards?
So when I was first starting out, I would pull a card a day and just study it. And there's so many resources, you know, depending on the deck that you like to use, you know, tons of online resources, tons of books, but I would just pull a card a day and that would be kind of a great omen to see, oh, this is the energy I can work with for the day, but also just a great way to kind of memorize stuff. And I would journal about them. But as I've been going, you know, as I've been doing this longer, I'm finding that it's really important to just like allow your intuition to speak to you. Like definitely have a base knowledge of what the cards mean, all of them. but don't be so fixated on that. You know, I think that trips a lot of readers up of just like needing to know the exact meaning. And I think as you get more comfortable and as you start to read with more people, energy just sort of comes through and you're able to really kind of pick up on the main themes of the card and sort of where they fall on the spread and, you know, the visual representation and sort of use your own intuition as the guide rather than relying on memory.
Yes, this is kind of like, I guess we're getting a little sidetracked, but not really because it's about this, but this isn't a question from the audience, but I will. So sometimes when I do these three card readings at events or whatever, they'll be like, well, they'll ask to take a picture of the cards. And then they'll be like, well, I'm going to look up what these cards mean. So I remember later on, I'm like, that's fine. You can do that. But just remember, I have my own relationship with this deck. And while I use the booklet, is, you know, I pull things from what the booklet said because I have respect for the person who received the download to create this deck and information. I still have my own messages and meanings that are associated with this card because they're my tool. Like these cards are my tool that, you know, I can channel messages through. I'm like, so there's still this intuitive thing. And I'm actually teaching a workshop about intuitive card reading with Oracle decks because I think a lot of times people get so fixated on the literal picture tied to the text with it, that it kind of does this huge disservice, right? Because this is, it's a tool, but it's not every great reader that I've ever worked with. They're like, they always say the same thing. Like you said, like it's great. There's like core things that you should know about it. Really helpful, but it really is just a tool for your intuition in so many ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that is sort of what our job is, you know, as readers, is we're there to interpret the cards and how they relate to that specific moment or that specific person or that specific reading. And that's why I think the work is so important, you know, having sort of a conduit there to help explain things in a different way. So yeah, I'm super curious about Oracle too. So we're definitely gonna have to talk more because I'd love to know more just about that world because it's fascinating. And there's so much beauty in those cards that I'm always looking at them like, what does this mean? And
no.
I don't just like to read the book either. I'd love to get a reading with you actually when you have some time.
They're really interesting. I think, you know, Oracle deck too is each one's different, you know, tarot. It all follows the same suit, but it the artwork's different, right? Like each artwork is different.
Yeah. There's a lot of different artists out there that are really doing some beautiful things. And yeah, the Rider-Waite, I think, is, you know, kind of like a really general baseline deck that a lot of, you know, other artists sort of base their work off of that. But I've seen a lot of other ones now at the end or whenever we talk about, one of the places that I work is a really great mystical store here in Portland. So I can share a little bit about that, but they have a lot of amazing decks for people that are just looking to learn.
Okay. This person asked, they said, I'm always confused about the meaning of the Wheel of Fortune. Help.
Yeah, happy to help. So I always interpreted the Wheel of Fortune kind of as like the karmic wheel, sort of as the like what goes around comes around, as above, so below. What you put into something is what you will get out of it. But it also symbolizes sort of a new beginning. And I'm a reader. I do read inverted cards as well, a little differently. Mm. So when it's coming up upright, I think it's like, you know, it's time for this new beginning, this new change. It can be, you know, this really hopeful thing full of possibility. You have to have intention behind your actions. But then when it's coming up reverse, the way I interpret it is like sometimes you're getting caught up in a loop or caught up in a cycle and you're resisting something and you need to break a habit or you need to make a change and you're resisting that, you know? So I definitely relate the Wheel of Fortune to kind of like the karmic wheel.
That's cool. That's good to know. I haven't done a tarot reading for myself in a long time, but that's good to know. I'm always learning about tarot.
Yeah.
Is there a card that you feel personally represents you? Well, that's a good one.
I love that question. That's such an interesting one. And honestly, I feel like there are a few and they're very dependent on sort of what I'm going through and the season. But I would say my power card or my familiar card that I really, really relate to is the High Priestess. And, you know, that is sort of a card that's about walking this fine line between the conscious and the subconscious and, you know, the reality and the dream realm and just being really open intuitively. And then when it comes up reversed, which it actually does quite a bit for me, it's like, girl, you got to check in with your intuition. You are overthinking things and you are not being open to what is coming through because you're getting like lost in the hamster wheel of your mind. So I always find that one comes up for me when I'm just like, ah, what am I doing? I feel crazy. But that's been a big thematic card for me. And, you know, it's also a very, very lunar card. And I mentioned earlier in our chat, like my mom's name in Sanskrit means moon. So I've always felt like I'm this daughter of the moon, you know? So yeah, I really vibe with the high priestess most of the time, but you know, there are definitely others that come up and I'm like, yep, that's me today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I know that, I see people talk about that one a lot. I feel like a lot of people talk about priestess, and that energy behind it. So that's interesting to know that the lunar stuff is tied to it.
Yeah.
How do you decipher the card's meaning with your own interpretation? Okay, so this is a good one because we were talking about intuition.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as I said before, I think it's really important to have base knowledge of all of them, you know, and just sort of do as much research as you can about, you know, the score and the history behind these cards. But I honestly just, it's one of those things that's very hard to explain, but I'm going to try my best. I just decipher the cards, you know, kind of with a combination of the energy of the person that I'm reading. I really take time to sort of channel this person and their experience, whether I'm speaking to them in real time or not. I you know, when I'm doing a more in-depth reading, the supporting cards that come before or after really help shape the story and also the visual. You know, I think when you're really open energetically, the visual just speaks to you in a really potent and clear way. So it's kind of a combination of all of the things, you know. That makes sense. Sorry, yeah. It's a very abstract answer.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I think because it's so personal in that sense, it's important for everyone to find that for themselves, how they connect to them.
No, just sometimes with interpreting them too, you know, they can relate to the person that I'm reading, or it can actually relate to like a circumstance or an action around them. So I just have to really check in with like what's coming up right away, you know, in my gut. I'm like, is this about you, or is this about like an issue that you had with, you know, a maternal figure in your life, you know? And I really go for my first reaction, and I'm always about sure I'm checking in and, you know, asking for clarification when I am doing the real-time readings. But you know, some readers don't do that. They just tell it like it is, but I'm here to help us get to the bottom of something. I'm here to help us figure out tools on how we can move forward. So I really like to interact and engage and be like, you know, I feel like this is about your mom, or I feel like this is about your sister. And, you know, more often than not, it will be confirmed that it is. But then sometimes it's totally about the person. So yeah, it's just a matter of staying really, really open and checking in with yourself and checking in with the energy of the person that you're reading.
Yeah. And I think it's so important for that, and trusting that, like trusting like what you're getting, you know, like not second guessing it or telling them, you know, if someone's like, I want advice on my career, but let's say like something else comes up, just being like, well, this is what's coming up though, that this is what needs to come through, like, and not just telling them what they want to hear, I guess.
Totally.
Okay.
I say totally a lot.
Yeah. How do you prep
girl.
Before reading?
So it depends. When I am doing my in-depth one-on-one readings, I will usually just have a couple minutes of meditation and just make sure I am just clearing out any of my own stuff so that I can be fully, fully present for the person that I'm reading. And, you know, I'll just kind of really say like an intentional mantra and just say, you know, like, you know, please help me serve this person and really just help me, you know, provide the insight to their highest good. When I am doing like in real time, whether it's face to face or on the phone with people, I will do like a clearing meditation so that we can just both kind of get on the same wavelength and, you know, do some breath work for a minute or two before, and just really get clear into the present space. So yeah, I'd say breath work and a little meditation and just really kind of calling in intention around the reading is how I prepare.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting to hear everyone's little things that they do before they do like spirit work, you know, like I feel like everyone has their own thing. And I think that's so important for other people to hear, because I think when, you know, people are like, oh, I want to do like, maybe, you know, someone wants to start doing tarot readings professionally or is like a side gig or whatever. I think it's like, well, I have to do, like, there's only one way to prep a for reading, or I'm supposed to do it this way, you know? And I think it's so important that people really find their own unique thing. Like, you know, even if someone does a little minute of breath work, it's going to look different than yours. And it's going to be different than yours. And just finding like that unique thing that everyone does. It's very interesting whenever I hear that from anyone else that works in any kind of energy or spirit work, their little pre-ritual thing.
Yeah, it's super important, I think, to just call an intention, you know, and everyone does do it differently. I'd love to hear, but no, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I want to hear how you do it too. Because what's one of the most actually interesting things about doing this professionally now is meeting so many other people, you know, kind of in this industry that work with different, you know, modalities, but just, you know, hearing how they do it, because everyone's got a method, you know, and I think it's just great to share that kind of information.
Yeah, I have like a whole setup. I bring like a little traveling altar with me. I'll sage myself beforehand. And I do everything after, but every now and then I'll have someone that has, I don't like saying like bad energy, they just have a lot of energy that, you know, can be kind of, I guess, heavy. And so sometimes I'll have to do a little self sage cleanse for myself in the middle of doing like events for things like that. My like live events are very different than my one-on-ones or remote ones, because it's different atmosphere, you know. But if I'm at an event, I bring my little traveling altar and I put some crystals in between readings. I put a piece of selenite and amethyst and rose quartz on my deck in between readings if there is any downtime. And then my little altar will just have some crystals, and I have my Saraswati and my angel crystal and my black tourmaline. I definitely bring, I do like a visualization of Archangel Michael, and I just visualize protecting myself, and I'll do some deep breaths. But most people, I guess I like when someone, you know, is nervous for a reading. I like using that energy that they have, because I think it comes through in the cards. And I feel like it's important for them, even if like that reading didn't make a whole lot of sense, or I tell them like, you know, these cards are a little, not chaotic, but like not as smoothly transition. I'm not getting like, I'm getting fragmented things. I think they learn from that, because like maybe they have their next reading to have, be more open to it and calm and that sort of thing. So I think it's really interesting that, you know, it's important. I don't do it, and I should probably start doing it to take time and get people to kind of calm themselves. I do that before my psychic readings and stuff, but when I'm at an event, I'm just like, whoever wants to come here, let's bring this chaos over here.
Yeah, actually, that's how I roll with events too. I go with a little altar, and you know, you're seeing so many people, you don't really know who you're seeing. And same kind of thing. I have my crystals, I have my moonstone, I have same thing, rose quartz and amethyst. It's so funny, but yeah, it's a very different ritualistic thing when I am at like, because I sometimes read at bars and parties, you know, so it's just a totally different vibe. But yeah, when it's more one-on-one, or when it's at the shop that I work at, with, you know, which is a psychic shop, mm-hmm. it's definitely, I can have this really great one-on-one intentional meditation and breathing time. But yeah, when it's a bigger situation, it's like, let's just do this. And that's where I really like my moonstone also, is I put it on the deck between readings, and I just feel like it kind of clears it. Because, you know, when you have a lot of energy on your cards, it feels heavy. It's like, you got to clean that up.
Oh, I'm curious to know this. I've never paid attention. I've had a couple of readings, but they've been remotely, and I didn't pay attention enough in the last in-person, like at events readings that I've had tarot done. but I don't let anyone else touch my deck. Do you let anyone touch your cards or your deck?
I do, actually. And they've been in some really interesting hands. And that's sort of how I started, is I would let people pick their own cards and then read the cards that they pick. That's a totally, it's a rarity now, just because I'm very protective over them and my reading style has changed. But once in a while, if I'm feeling like a person just needs to kind of feel them, you know, and just have that energy charge, I'll let them do it. But I use discretion, you know, those are my babies. And they're getting so, I mean, the one deck that I primarily work with, they're just getting so worn down. So I try to keep them, you know, I mean, they're far from pristine, but I try to keep them as, you know, close, not close, but just to myself as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so protective. I use the same Oracle deck for all my events, just because I find people resonate with it's the animal deck from Kim Kranz, who did the Wild and Known Tarot.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So I use the animal deck for that Oracle deck for all my events, because I feel like people just, they resonate with animals. It's an easy visual thing for them. But I don't let anyone touch it. And a couple times, like sometimes people like are like, well, that's weird. Why not? I'm like, because it's my baby. Like, you can't touch
it. Totally.
She is. No.
I love that deck.
Yeah.
I love that deck. It's very powerful.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the archetype one that she has that came out? Like this?
Yes. The circular ones?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny where I work sometimes. It's the psychic sister on Alberta.
It used to be
the Wild Unknown store. Yeah. So, they carry a lot of her work. She's got a new book coming out. She's just like, she's so amazing. So rad.
Yeah. I still haven't been into psychic sister yet. Like I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me because I have a toddler. Like, if I wander in one of those places, totally, grabbing crystals and all this other stuff, I don't blame him. But, like, I get it, but it's just different. He doesn't understand. So
yeah, absolutely.
I'm curious, those are all the questions that we had, just so everyone knows, like that's the end of the question round. And now I'm getting a little off topic, but I'm curious. I have not done, so I'll do, I do remote readings, or you can come into the space I work out of, and then I'll do like events, but I don't do any like resident readings, like how you do it at Psychic Sisters. I don't do like any metaphysical shops. And I get most of them, not all, but most of them, I get like just so much vertigo in those types of shops. Do you ever like have you noticed working out of like a shop like that versus an event or party, like how the energy, like do you get vertigo or anything like that? Or do you notice the energy, you feel less drained or more drained when you work out of a space that like, let's say, has a lot of spiritual tools or crystals or anything like that?
You know, it's a really interesting question, and I totally think it depends on the space, because I have been invited by other shops, you know, to come and kind of be a reader there, and I immediately get a feel, like, the second I walk in of just, like, I don't think I'm going to be my best here, you know, I don't think I'm going to be the most open. I think there's just too much, so I have to really pay attention to how a space feels for me. And before I started working at Psychic Sister, I would shop there quite regularly. And I actually got a couple of readings from the store owner herself, who's amazing. And it was actually through getting a reading that she was able to pick up on my intuitive capabilities and sort of offered me a position there. And it just totally synchronized, and it felt very much in alignment. The one thing that is different is, when people are coming to get a reading at the shop, it's like they have a goal in mind. They have, you know, a mission, and they want to do it. So for me, it's like the energy is so focused, whereas at an event or a bar or a party, it's kind of just a little more, I don't know, it's like a little more fun and, you know, kind of willy-nilly, and we'll see what comes through. So the energy is different, but I feel that it's very clear at the shop that I work at, but I'm very selective about where I will go and do readings in person.
Yeah, I'll have to go in there. I really need to go in there. There's a couple shops here
that love it.
I get crazy vertigo in, and it's not, I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't like spend too much of my energy trying to debunk whatever it is. I'm just like, okay, nope, can't spend it here, goodbye. But yeah, I don't think I've been to any... I haven't been to any shops here while I've had readings done. I tend to always do it like when I'm on vacation somewhere. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, I love a vacation reading and just like some of it, you know, you would never see again. And it just, yeah, I love that. No, it's a beautiful store. And, you know, they just put so much intention around everything that they source, you know, and there's just like a lot of love and good juju in there. But no, I feel you. I've definitely been, even some bars where I'm like, you know, I don't think that's the right match for me. So yeah, it's just really good to pay attention to what feels good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important. There's one shop here that I went into for the first time with my friend Megan, and it's like one of her favorites. I think it's probably her favorite store besides Psychic Sister. Is it Invoke? I think that's the name of it. Have you heard of Invoke? Do you know Invoke?
I don't think I've been there. No.
It's over in, it's like in Southeast, right behind like Mount Tabor, whatever that area is there, like right over the hill.
Have to check it out.
And I really like the energy when I went into there. It was interesting. So I'm going to have to look at some readers that are in there. It was just very, it was a little bit like, it wasn't like one of those metaphysical shops where everything's like bright and airy. It was like, I don't know, a little, not rustic. It felt more earthy, I guess. It was an earthier feel and I really liked it. But I'm curious to get a reading with someone there because my friend Megan has had some readings by some seer there and I think a tarot reader. She said they were really great, so I should probably go in there. And I didn't get vertigo in there, which was really interesting. From the few places I've been to in Portland that I have not gotten vertigo in. But I think that's...
I think it's really funny. It's funny that you said it's got an earthy vibe, because you're looking for more earth.
Well,
you don't have much in your charts. That makes sense.
I don't. Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. I'll have to go back. But I need to go into Psychic Sister, because my friend Megan's gotten me a couple gifts from there, and I hear all about it, and it's literally down the street from me, so I don't know what is holding me back, so I'm going to take this as like a final nudge that I need to go in there.
No, you'll go when you're ready. I have no doubt. You'll find yourself there when the time is perfect.
And watch, it'll be like one of those random days that you're in there doing readings. I'll be like, oh, cool.
Totally.
So before we tell everyone where we can find you on the interwebs, my question that I ask all my guests is, do you believe in ghosts? And do you have a ghost story you can share?
I definitely believe in ghosts, you know, and I don't think that they're this like evil, scary thing. I just think that they're spirits that linger. I don't really have too many ghost stories or one in particular, but my husband and I bought a fixer-upper here in Northeast Portland, and we basically had to strip it down because it was just not well cared for. And the people who lived there here before us, I think, were, you know, selling drugs, and it was just in really bad shape. So we had to just rip it down to the studs and do a lot of stuff to it. But it's not even that old of a house. But I remember when we were kind of like ripping floors out. I was here alone one night. My husband was out of town. And I kept hearing just like rattling in the walls. And I totally felt like there was some entity that was pissed off that I was ripping up their house. So I had to have a moment with it and just be like, listen, like, no disrespect, but I'm living here too now. And I'm just like here to fill this place with love and good energy. And I had to have like an out loud conversation with these sounds and this, like, it was a thickness in the air, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone has died here, but it just definitely felt like I was disrupting something. So I had to have a little moment, and then it went away.
Interesting. I'll have to ask you what part of Northeast you're in, because I am also in Northeast.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Very cool. Yeah.
Like live like 3 streets down from me or something. I'll be like, this is weird.
Yeah, I'm in Cully. I'm not too far from the Psychic Sister either. So yeah, we'll have to exchange info and get some coffee or something. I need to hear your mama tips, how you can sustain a business and do all this stuff with a toddler. I'm fascinated.
So where can we find you online? How does someone book a remote reading from you? Are there certain days that you're at Psychic Sister, like always on a certain date? Give us the down low on all that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm like so slow to the online party. It's kind of sad, but kind of old school because it's been a really great word of mouth and referral situation for me for the last couple of years. But the very best way to find me online is through Instagram right now. And my Instagram handle is Your Tarotist. And that's YourTarotPist. And you can just DM me. I do private bookings. I do one-on-ones. I do house calls, you know, within reason, all kinds of events. And I am at Psychic Sister about twice a month. The dates vary, but I'm always posting when I'm there on my Instagram. I do have a website coming soon. And if for anyone in the Portland area, you can find me at the Psychic Bar on Mississippi this Friday the 13th. I'll be doing readings there from probably around 7:30 to 11 at night. And the very next day, Saturday the 14th, excuse me, I will be at Psychic Sister. So you can book a session online. You can just walk in. But yeah, best way to find me and to keep track of what I'm doing is through my Instagram, Your Therapist.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm excited. I'm going to have to book a reading with you because I haven't had an in-person tarot reading done.
Likewise. I need an oracle reading from you.
Yeah. No, this will be fun. I think it'll be interesting to hear, you know, everyone's experience on that. Cool. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Everyone go give her a follow, book a reading. I'm excited to see everyone's experience with you.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Woo Woo Report. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at Nicole Baron, NicoleBurron, to stay up to date on everything woo-woo.